Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Apollo Hospitals Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Sagar. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call hosted by Apollo Hospitals to discuss the financial results for the first quarter of FY27, which were announced yesterday. We have with us today the senior management team represented by Mrs. Sunita Reddy, Managing Director, Mr. A. Krishnan, Group CFO, Dr. Madhu Sasidhar, President and CEO of the Hospitals Division, Mr. Madhivanan Balakrishnan, CEO of Apollo HealthCo, Mr. Sriram Iyer, CEO of AHLL, Mr. Sanjeev Gupta, CFO of Apollo HealthCo, and Mr. Obul Reddy, CFO of the Pharmacy Business. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Please note the disclaimer mentioning these risks and uncertainties, which is on slide 2 of the investor presentation shared with all of you earlier. Documents relating to our financial performance have been circulated earlier, and these have also been posted on the corporate website. I would now like to turn the call over to Mrs. Sunita Reddy for her opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on today's earnings call. I trust that you have reviewed the earnings material that we shared yesterday. We are pleased to start FY27 on a strong footing, carrying forward the healthy momentum from the previous year. We have delivered strong double-digit revenue growth across all three of our business verticals, healthcare services, Apollo HealthCo, and AHLL, alongside continued improvement in profitability. The performance in quarter one reflects sustained demand across our integrated healthcare platform, continued traction in high acuity specialties, and disciplined execution across all three businesses. On a consolidated basis, revenue grew by 21% year-on-year to 7,043 crores. Consolidated EBITDA for the quarter stood at 1,092 crores, registering a growth of 28%, with EBITDA margin improving from 15.5% from 14.6% in quarter one last year. Healthcare services reported revenues of 3,567 crores, delivering healthy growth of 22% on a year-on-year basis. The established hospitals grew revenues by 18% to 3,475 crores, while new hospitals contributed 92 crores for the quarter. This was driven by a combination of 11% volume growth, 4% from pricing, and 3% from clinical case mix, bed and payer mix. Total inpatient volumes grew by 13% year-on-year, with occupancy at 70%. Average revenue per patient increased by 8% year-on-year to under 1,86,630 rupees. The enhanced operating metrics reflect the incremental improvements in patient clinical complexity and clinical technology utilization that have been able to drive in recent quarters. Insurance and self-pay continue to form the core of our payer mix, together contributing to 83% of overall inpatient net revenues. Insurance revenues grew by 25%, while self-pay revenues increased by 16% during the quarter. Revenue from international patients grew by 26% over the same quarter last year. The volume growth was broad-based across the network and across all specialties. Our focus on high acuity congo T specialties, cardiac, oncology, transplant, neurosciences, gastroenterology, and orthopedics continues to strengthen the quality of our clinical offering. Congo T volumes increased 15%, while revenues grew 24% year-on-year. These specialties now contribute to 62% of inpatient net revenues, underlining Apollo's leadership in complex tertiary and quaternary care. Healthcare services EBITDA increased by 20% year-on-year to 862 crores, while with margins at 24.2%. Established hospitals delivered EBITDA margins of 25.9%, This improvement is because of higher operating leverage, clinical case mix, and the benefit of ongoing productivity optimization initiatives. We believe there is further headroom for structural cost savings, which will support our margins in the upcoming phase of capacity growth. New hospitals reported an EBITDA loss of 38 crore, reflecting the initial ramp-up costs associated with the recently commissioned operational beds. Healthcare services ROCE was at 28.5% during the quarter, supported by balanced performance across the network, spanning metro, tier one, and tier two markets. We continue to make steady progress on our hospital capacity expansion program. Our 180-bed facility in Sarjapur, Bengaluru, was operationalized this quarter. Gurugram remains on track for operationalization in quarter three, FY27. We are committed to ensuring that our portfolio of new units performs to our expectations and losses are restricted within guided limits. In our earnings update, we have also provided a breakdown of our expansion plans up to FY31, which will take our census bed capacity to 14,100 beds. This is a carefully thought-through expansion in the north and west, along with brownfield expansions in current units. We expect to fund this expansion largely from internal accruals and have a comfortable debt position on our balance sheet. Moving to Apollo HealthCo, the business reported revenues of 2,977 crores, representing a strong 20% year-on-year growth. EBITDA stood at 171 crores compared to 94 crores in quarter one FY26. The company continues to demonstrate the scalability of its integrated retail and digital healthcare model, even as it has made significant progress on unit economics. Digital cash loss was reduced to just 10 crores during the quarter compared to 49 crores in quarter one FY26 and 16 crores in quarter four FY26. The digital vertical is poised to achieve break-even in the upcoming quarter. Platform GMV stood at 535 crores, representing a 23% year-on-year growth for the closure of the non-profitable corporate partnership. Digital revenues increased 24% on a like-for-like basis. Apollo HealthCo reported a PAT of 101 crores during the quarter compared to 57 crores in the same period last year. AHLL also delivered a good quarter with revenues increasing 15% year-on-year to 499 crores. EBITDA grew 46% to 59 crores, while EBITDA margins improved to 11.8% from 9.2% the same period last year. PAT loss reduced to 1 crore compared to 8 crore in quarter 1 FY26. Within AHLL, the diagnostics vertical recorded 31% revenue growth and healthy improvement in margins, well on the way to its next milestone of 1,000 crore annualized revenue. Consolidated PAT increased 34% year-on-year to 581 crores. The proposed strategic restructuring of our omni-channel pharmacy and digital health business remains on track for completion within the disclosed timelines, with multiple regulatory steps proceeding as planned and the scheme being concluded in the current fiscal. With this, I would like to add our views on the parliamentary committee recommendations, which we have thought through. As healthcare providers who have been part of the healthcare ecosystem for the past 40 years, we are aligned with the government's objective of making quality healthcare affordable and accessible to every Indian. We welcome the commitment of healthcare spending, the fact that it will rise to less than 3% to 5% of India's GDP. We support the government's focus on better clinical governance, greater price transparency, and clear patient communication, and an effective grievance redressal mechanism. We have reversed the trends of Indians traveling abroad for good care. Today, patients from 150 countries come to us because we deliver world-class outcomes at one-tenth of the international cost. The government has recognized the fact that high-quality care comes at a cost and has given a roadmap, zero-rated GST, reducing custom duties, etc. We believe that the big picture on healthcare in India is very, with strong structural demand for healthcare remains intact. India still needs to add 2.4 million high-quality beds. the private sector needs to invest capital to fulfill this goal. Healthcare is at the core of a developing economy and a vital contributor to infrastructure, jobs, foreign exchange earnings, and building a healthy and productive workforce. India needs a vibrant innovation, research, and academic ecosystem. Our country's R&D budget is lower than that of any large European pharmaceutical company. Price controls on private enterprise may have the underside effect of disincentivizing investments in capacity creation and innovation. And we believe that a one-size-fits-all approach to pricing will not work, as healthcare is more than merely a linear sum of inputs. We look forward to continued engagement with all stakeholders, insurance providers, as well as the government, to shape a framework that is trusted by patients and sustainable for providers, attractive for investment, and capable of meeting the healthcare needs of the next generation of Indians. With this, let me hand over for questions to the team that is present here today. Madhusha Sridhar, CEO of Apollo Hospitals, Krishnan, our CFO, Obul Reddy, who is CFO of the pharmacy division, Sriram, Apollo Health and Lifestyle, Madhivannan, Apollo Health Co, and Sanjeev, CFO of Apollo Health Co. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and then one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Again, to register for a question, you may press star and one now. Your first question comes from the line of Binay with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thanks for the opportunity. In the last earnings call, we talked about around mid-teens growth in the hospital business. We had a pretty strong start to the year and ramp-up is yet to play out. So do you see that this year you could actually hit more closer to 20% revenue growth in hospitals?
Yes, for this quarter. Yes, so I believe we're on track to deliver 20%.
And within that, if you look at the next big hospital that we are ramping up, Gurgaon, how is the progress on that playing out?
So September, we'll have a soft launch. In October, it'll be opened up.
So the revenue contribution will be more from Q3 onwards?
Or Q4. Because we will launch it, and after that, the IP will take another couple of months to ramp up fully.
Right. And just lastly, on the new hospital losses, is it fair to assume that the quarterly run rate may actually inch up into the opening of Gurgaon, or how to think about that?
So there are two things. Yes, one is that it will inch up a bit, and that's something that we should expect, that it should go up by at least 20 crores a quarter, and then it should come down. But we are doing very well on financial district in Hyderabad. And that ramp-up has been good, and we are quite hopeful that that hospital should break even in the coming quarter.
Thanks, team. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Neha Manpuria with Bank of America Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Just extending the hospital margin, we've seen hospital margins obviously improve meaningfully in the last few quarters. And I think ma'am in her opening remarks also mentioned scope for more structural cost saving. Given we're already touching close to about 26% margins in existing hospitals, could you give us color in terms of how much more room there is to improve margins in these hospitals, and what would be the areas of those, that would drive that improvement?
The current numbers are a good set of numbers, as you have seen. We have got the benefit of both operating leverage as well as some of the cost control measures that has already been taken. And, the other important point is we're getting back the IPS volumes as well, as you have seen in this quarter. It is a good margin. We would like to continue, you know, we would like to first sustain these margins. There are some costs, some more cost takeouts which are possible, but we would, you know, the margins are something that we are happy with.
Understood. So 26 is a good sustainable number to assume for existing operations at the moment. Okay. And we're still maintaining our new loss number of 150 crores, right?
So for the full year, that's what, but as I said, by the course, by Q4, we will see some uplift which is happening. But as I said, financial district in Hyderabad has done very well in this quarter, and we would break even on that front next quarter. Bellinus, which we've acquired, will start operations in the coming quarter. So we are continuing to maintain that 150, but it will rise up a bit on a quarterly basis.
Understood. My second question is on the digital business. I do see our pre-OPEX margin has improved, you know, pretty meaningfully here. So, you know, if you could give us some colors to what's driven this, is it the insurance business, etc.? And, you know, I also see the cost increasing. So is it fair to assume that now the break-even would be essentially driven by revenue momentum and therefore the pre-OPEX margin expanding?
So Madhi and Sanjeev?
Yes, ma'am. So, no, your observation is right. While our primary three core businesses of pharmacy, diagnostics, and consults are in a good, reasonable run rate state, insurance is still in a build-up mode. We have now four centers across. So that's one of the reasons why both our tech cost and cost of building up of these operations is going up. We were genuinely hoping that we should be able to get insurance under control, but there have been one or two setbacks which is pushing it up. And there are one or two other costs which were one-time costs as we are rationalizing our organization. So those are the only two reasons. But otherwise, the momentum when it comes to our core businesses at around 25 to 30% growth rate on the pharmacy side, around 27% on the diagnostic side continues to grow. Insurance actually grew at around 80%, but that's on a very small base. And like I said, it's still on the investment mode. So the momentum will be maintained. And as we rationalize some of our costs, we should get into a consistent mode. Sanjeev, do you want to speak about specific numbers on these lines, please?
No, I think you said it right, Madhi. You know, slight increase in the expenses. You know, I think, ma'am, you must be referring Q2 versus Q1. And I think there are, you know, one-off cost also in Q1. But we believe that, you know, on a sustainable basis, we should be in the range of about 80 crores quarter as expense. And as far as the margin line is concerned, we continue to see good traction on insurance and other circle subscription like programs are also doing pretty good, which would also mean that, you know, slight increase in the margin. And with controlling operating cost, I think, we are well within the course of, seeing the business turning around. Thank you.
Got it. This is very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Damayanti Kerai with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Continuing the discussion on your efforts towards scaling up insurance business. So in terms of certain milestones or a certain scale in mind, where do you think or how long it will take you to reach there when we will see significant scale up in that part of the business and then the losses declining significantly. So if you can explain the insurance part a bit better, elaborate on that.
Let me take that, ma'am. So first and foremost, in the insurance business, we are a corporate agent. So effectively, we are not into manufacturing, but we are into the business of setting up a comprehensive sales engine that will enable us to sell our products to our existing customers. So our operating model is very simple. We do not advertise or we did not spend money to get customers. Our insurance business is primarily driven through cross-pollination to our existing base of pharmacy, consult, and our overall Apollo ecosystem customers. Our aspiration is to actually run, because as a corporate agent, we are entitled to sell all three kinds of insurance, health, life, and non-life. But given our natural, alliance with the healthcare, we being part of the healthcare, our health insurance is what has taken off. We've been seeing some very good traction. We are almost in double digits in terms of the gross premium that we are earning. And as you know,
While the margins are very good at a gross level, the cost which are typically an entity incurs in the early stages of this operation is reasonably high. Just to give you a flavor, now we have 4 call centers across 4 big cities, Gurgaon, 2 in Hyderabad and 1 in Bangalore. Out of these 4 centers, 2 centers are completely broken even on an incremental CM2 level. So only the overheads needs to be covered for. And this is covering all the technology investment that we have made, a total workforce of around 250 odd people. And it includes business which is set up for the first time. As we progress quarter on quarter basis, we also start getting annuity income from the businesses that we have booked beforehand. So that particular revenue engine has not yet started kicking off. So it's primarily the first time business that we are building in. So if you were to track us on milestones, it would be typically all the 4 centers becoming viable. Our digital business, which is pure digital products, we have 2 big products, one with Niva Bupa and the other with Care Insurance, which do not incur, other than the technical costs that I've incurred, I don't need to do anything. It's a pure digital business targeted through my app and my web. So that's the second engine which will grow. One area which I would, from a disclosure perspective, is we had actually made an attempt to build a feet on street, very similar to some of the other brokers like Insurance Deco and RenewBuy. That's one engine which has not worked out for us. We are reworking that engine, and that's a bit of a setback. We hope to sort that over the next 2 quarters, and we hope to break even on the insurance business by Q3 end. While all the other 3 businesses are already at a CM2 positive level, once this business comes in, our ability to show even a clean digital level should be much better. Sorry for the long-winded answer, but that's the way.
Sure, that's helpful. So break even by 3rd quarter of this fiscal,
for
right?
Insurance, that's Q3. Yeah, yeah. So that's what is pulling us down. So if you have to notice, if we didn't have insurance, we are already on a positive side. So that's one business which is pulling in. So just to be on the safe side from a guidance perspective, I would say by Q3 end.
Okay, that's very helpful. My second question is, you have announced a new proton center in Delhi, which will come, say, a few years down the line. Just want to get some update or some insights on your Chennai proton center, how that has picked up and what kind of utilization level that unit is operating at. So that will be helpful.
Yeah, Madhu will answer
that. So, thank you for that question. So our Chennai is a 3 gantry unit, meaning that it can at the same time accommodate 3 patients. 2 of those are mobile gantries and 1 is a fixed gantry. So fixed gantry is limited in the kind of cancers it can treat. The 2 mobile gantries are more or less fully occupied. Sometimes, very frequently, we are encountering a wait list. But we do have some capacity on the fixed gantry. We are working extended hours to accommodate the additional patients. So in terms of capacity, I think the Delhi unit coming online will be perfectly timely.
And that the Delhi unit will be a single gantry.
Sure. And one of your competitors also announced to come up with proton centers. So I was just looking to understand from the demand perspective in that particular market.
Yeah, so I think it's useful to look at what's happening in the scientific literature. Increasingly, we are finding that particle beam therapy is superior to conventional radiation and other forms of treatment. The literature is moving in the direction, especially for conditions like head and neck cancer, that proton beam therapy has superior results both in terms of outcome as well as side effects. So we believe that especially with India's high burden of head and neck cancer, the demand is, with these units coming online, I think the demand is going to be there and is going to exceed what today we see as supply that is coming online.
Yeah, and just to add, you know, we have to have a comprehensive oncology offering. So without having the right equipment, I think we would have left the radiation space. Because we do this, we attract the best clinical talent and we're able to collaborate with institutions overseas. As you can see, 30% of the volumes come from overseas patients. So this is the critical asset for our Delhi network.
Sure. That's very helpful. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and then one. Your next question comes from the line of Shyam Srinivasan with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. Just on the Tamil Nadu region, we have seen like an occupancy rate which has been quite encouraging, right? Not 70%. We've not seen this kind of prints for a long time. So from a overall operational standpoint, has something changed? Was it just a seasonal quarter that uptick? I know we've been rationalizing our beds there overall over the last whatever, 12 months, but just want to understand what's happening in that core region for us and are we seeing market share gains?
Yes. This is demand driven. I don't think it is one time. We did not see a large number of either acute fevers or gastrointestinal disease. There was some uptick in medical admissions, but this is much more distributed between surgical and medical. We have been working very hard on our operational efficiencies to be able to sustain a higher throughput. So I think 70% is a healthy number, but with a lot more capacity to grow further. Also, I think to note is that there has been a significant normalization of the Bangladesh IPS volume, about a 60% growth in this quarter compared to last quarter. So that has also contributed more than the volume. The type of patients that we are seeing have higher acuity of illness.
Helpful. Thank you. My second question is on the digital business. When I look at GMV growth and revenue growth, there is a discrepancy. So maybe the revenue per to GMV ratio has come off YOY. So just want to understand, is there how we should look at this business? I thought we talked about GMV growth of 20% plus, but revenue growth seems to be lagging.
But if you remember, around three quarters back in the similar forum, we had spoken about how the business is getting restructured. We said the way to read our business is in two ways. The pharmacy business and the diagnostic business are driven by GMV. What I mean is the revenue usually works in sync with the growth on these two lines of businesses. When it comes to the consult business, which is wherein we are facilitating digital consults of doctors across the Apollo Group, the revenue model changed. That is, we get a flat fee, and the focus is more on ensuring that we have an optimum structure to take care of being the digital gateway as well as any of the other supporting services. So I would say the ratio that you should look for is the overall GMV growth on these two lines of businesses, which is consult and diagnostics, pharmacy and diagnostics. Pharmacy growing in the range of 25%-30%, diagnostic again in the similar range. And the revenue has been on par. Our CM1 and CM2 margins on the pharmacy is already positive. There is enough work which is happening to increase our order density and to reduce the cost of our deliveries. It's been on a downward trajectory. Again, like I said, over the next two quarters, that should play out. So I would say look at the revenue in conjunction with these two lines of businesses. And the consult revenue, while it will remain not show such a direct correlation, but however, we do show the GMVs on those lines.
Got it. And just quickly, my last question, Sunita ma'am, on your opening remarks on the whole parliamentary panel, whatever recommendations, right? We had ARPA growing 8%. Does it put a little bit of a question mark around how we look at pricing now, given that there is a lot of scrutiny? We have taken like a price increase benefit of 4%. So just want to understand from a competitive dynamic or even from a stakeholder perspective, are you relooking at how you price your services?
No, I think we've been very fair and transparent in the way that we price our services. In fact, we've been in maybe 100 hours of dialogue with the insurance companies, and all of them were appreciative of the fact that, you know, they could deal with this level of price increases. So going forward, I think, you know, once you have insurance companies on board, it should not be difficult for the rest of you know, for the rest of our customers to understand the tariff increase, which is based on inflation as well as inflation in the cost of services, which I must say is not as high as core inflation. So I think where we are just mirroring the trend of inflation in pricing.
And the other point that I want, you know, we have spoken on the earlier calls as well. I think it's important that we appreciate that we are a, you know, high-end tertiary care network with Congo contributing 62% to 63% of our overall revenues. And even with the Congo at 62-63, with us being high-end, you know, 90% of our overall patients, we have said that, in fact, 70% of our overall patients even today pay less than 2 lakh rupees in our system on in admissions, and 90% pay less than 5 lakh rupees. You know, even if you go to a metro, you know, that 70 comes down to 68. So clearly there is a very high, it's not a high number at all.
Yeah.
And also this is, Dr. Madhu Shashidhar, I also don't want you to make the error of assuming that an ARPP increase is always a price or a tariff increase. We've been working very, very hard on a substantial case complexity shift. As an example, robotic surgery has increased 85%. Our number of transplants, which are life-saving procedures, liver transplant and heart and lung, have increased. All of these will drive the comparative ARPP increase, and this reflects case complexity rather than a tariff increase.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Kunal Damesha with Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Can you please share the revenue contribution of the 380 beds that we have operationalized in this quarter?
So we are close to 100 crores. 92 crores is the number for this quarter.
92 crore. Okay. So is it fair to say that the indirect cost of operating these beds were close to the similar number, around 90 crore for this quarter?
Higher, right? Because we have said there is a loss of 38 crores.
But there will be direct cost. I'm just talking about the indirect cost.
Yeah, indirect would be close to that number.
Close to that number. So then, shall we, let's say, when we are saying that we'll be adding another 620 beds or operationalizing, shall those cost, indirect costs, move in the same proportion?
No, it won't.
See, when we open a hospital, you already incur the admin cost, and you've already got certain employees on roll which are critical to the running of the unit. So as we operationalize additional beds, we actually benefit from operating leverage. So I don't think there's a direct correlation between the current cost that you see and the number of new beds that we will open.
Because as you said, the indirect cost will actually be leveraged, right? And that's the point that we are saying, because some of the indirect costs, as you correctly question, are incurred upfront for us to be able to leverage out of it as we move up the revenue curve. And some of that predominantly, this numbers would have doctor's fees, which would be significant here, as well as the, we are opening up of some of these beds. We also have a lot of people on the ground for nursing and paramedics, etc.
So, sir, let's say, within this indirect also, there will be, fixed and semi-variable or semi-fixed cost, right? So, let's say 10 million is the current indirect cost of operating one new bed. Per year. So how should we think whether it's like going forward the 620 bed would be like 60% of that, 70%, broad range is.
Can we take this offline? I can explain it to you, because I can tell you that the 620 beds that we have currently commissioned, the indirect cost that we have already incurred are capable of handling 750 beds as of now itself. So, we will take some of this offline.
Sure. And second question for ma'am, we have said the 4% pricing growth in our healthcare services business. Ma'am, if you could throw some light, how has this, pricing growth has moved, let's say over the next 4-5 years, because I think this is the first time we are getting this, really important number. But how would have that moved, and, you have said that it's in line with the healthcare cost inflation, right? But how historically, how has that moved? Is it in line with history, higher, lower?
No, I think that what is impactful is probably the fact that we've closed with a lot of insurance companies, and therefore, but this is sustainable. What you're seeing is sustainable, and we continue to have these price increases because, you know, this is medical inflation, and like was said earlier, case complexity will continue to drive higher ARPP. With all that, we are still very affordable, like AK said. You know, 80% of our patients pay less than 2 lakhs per patient. So I think we have to consider it very holistically, and to maintain that, you know, we actually mark in a 5% increase in pricing every year.
Okay. And then the way this, you know, just last one for me, if you could, the way my understanding is, initially the price increases happen for cash paying patient, and then insurance companies basically do the catch up on the rates. Is that how it works?
Insurance contracts are today, you know, 2-yearly contracts. So what happens is that, you know, every 2 years there is a reset which comes our way. So to that extent, you know, if there is an inflation of 5% every year, every 2 years, ideally they should increase it by at least 10%.
Okay, sure. I'll join back later. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vivek Agarwal with Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, this year you are indicating 20% kind of revenue growth in the hospitals. Just if you can help us understand how to look at the hospital growth over the next couple of years, maybe 28, 29, and also on profitability, so how the margin, EBITDA margin trajectory can be, given that you are seeing some of the new hospitals coming in, some of the existing, the recent commissioned hospitals maturing in. Thank you.
So the established hospitals will continue to grow at 13% to 14%. The new will bring an additional 7% of revenue. As we look at the next 24 months, this is a very sustainable target for us. Going forward, you know, we expect that the units that we start now will also mature, in the sense that they will start contributing to both EBITDA and profitability. So if you want to handle that...
Yeah, so that's the way that we would look at it. You know, I think and the margins, you know, as we said, you know, should sustain at the current levels of the in established, inch up a bit as well with in the next 24 months.
Understood. And the hospitals that you're going to commission, let's say, last quarter as well as this year, so how we should look at the losses as well as the profits maybe over the next 2 years, 28 and 29?
So let us come back to you by the next quarter. You know, we are hoping that by next year we should break even overall as a, you know, as a cluster of new hospitals by end of, by Q3, Q4 of next year. That's what we are hoping. Let us come back to you by next quarter.
Perfect, sir. This is from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kunal Randeria with Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. First question, ma'am, is on the payer mix. The cash plus insurance is around 85% for you. But, you know, with all the expansion that is going on, especially with the new greenfields, should we expect more institutional beds in the near future, or you should be able to maintain this 85% kind of a range?
I think 85% is very maintainable.
Right, right. So even in outside of southern states, you'll be able to maintain that.
Yes.
Yes. Next question.
Yeah, and one more if I can. So for the AHL business, the revenue traction seems to be getting better. Now, what would be the margin targets for you in the next couple of years? And if you can just explain how you can achieve this.
Sriram?
Yeah, hi. Hi, good afternoon. As you can see, we have three different lines of businesses. Our focus right now is to really double down and grow the diagnostic and the primary care business. So this quarter, diagnostic has hit the 14% margin. The focus of diagnostics would be to continue growing at a 20% plus kind of a growth. And over a period of next 6 to 8 quarters, look at a 20% mark on margins. Primary care is another area where we have grown by about 12%. We want to stay put at that kind of a growth levels. And we are also going to be adding few clinics in the next 2 to 3 quarters. These are the two big lines of business that AHLL is going to be focusing on. And as all of you are aware, we have concluded our transaction on the mother and child business, and we are merging into a larger platform. We are finally awaiting the regulatory clearance from the government. And once that happens, our focus will even more double down on the diagnostics and primary care business. Hope I've answered your questions.
Sure, sure. So, I mean, to conclude, it's diagnostics which will drive the margins up for this business, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Prashant Chirsagar with Unived Corporate Research Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. I just my question is relating to Delhi Cancer Center and Proton Facility which you are going to create. Can you share the location for the same, or is it yet to be identified as the location?
So we have two options. We'll share it with you shortly.
And second question relating to that only is the total beds and the census beds in that case is the same at 100 beds. So normally census beds are less than the total beds. So can you clarify on that?
So in this case, it was assumed that it would be part of one of the centers also, which is why it's seeming to be the same. But if it goes as a separate center, then it can come out to be a bit different. It can become 125 and 100. As of now, it was assumed to be part of one of the centers.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. That answers my questions.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants. You may press star and then one to ask a question. Your next question comes from Tausif Sheikh with BNP. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity. My first question on the international patient business, which has grown by 26%. Just wanted to understand, are the patient volume from Bangladesh are completely back to 100%, which was there 2 years back, or still we have not reached that level?
So the volume has not reached that level. It's about 60 to 70% of what it used to be. But I would say that we are seeing patients with higher complexity, but for value, it's a little bit higher. But volume-wise, it's about 60 to 70% of what it used to be at its peak.
That's helpful. My second question on the bed addition plan, I think I see a few of the brownfield bed which is expected to come in FY27 as it moved to FY20 and FY29. Any specific reasons for the same?
No, so we just, because FY27, we just have 6 more months. So Jubilee Hills expansion, there is some change in the configuration that they are planning, etc. So which is why it's moved to the next year. Secunderabad also, there was some delay because the landlord has taken some time to come back yet on the lease deed. So that is why there has been a delay.
Thanks. That is helpful.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Rahul Jeewani with IIFL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks sir for taking my question. So the IP volume growth for us has been pretty strong this quarter. So on the established units, we saw almost 11% volume growth. Now, while there is some component of Bangladesh patient normalization which is helping us, but apart from that, was there any seasonal factor which led to, let's say, this strong volume growth on the established unit side? And how do you see this trajectory going forward?
So there wasn't really, I think two things to point out. One is there was not a seasonal pattern. When we look at it from a regional standpoint, it was broad-based across all regions. This was not a typical sort of dengue or acute febrile illness pattern. So I think it speaks for a little bit of a shift to more elective and semi-elective cases. And that is a good sign for the future because it means that we can move our volumes with more intentionality and less seasonal change.
Sure, sir. And let's say our guidance of this 13 to 14% top line growth for the established units over the next 24 months, what would be the contribution of volume growth for the established units in this period?
So roughly around 7%, 7 to 8%.
7-8%. And do you think that with this normalization in Bangladesh footfalls, the IP volume growth for established units would be higher than this 7-8% in FY27?
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that question. Sorry.
So sir, I was saying that last year our Bangladesh footfalls were impacted. First quarter, we saw normalization in that. I think you pointed to 60% growth in the Bangladesh IP volumes. So with that happening, for established units, this year the volume growth could be higher than 7-8%, which you are guiding.
That's why we said, you know, in the full year, we should still be at that 18-20% revenue number.
Okay, sure, sir. That's it from me.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Suraj Bhandari with East Lane. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to know what is Apollo's medium-term view on how the NPS Swasthya tie-up will drive patient volume, case mix, ARPU and margins across hospitals and pharmacies?
Let me take the question. NPS Swasthya is a very early stage product. Only two POCs have happened. One wherein Apollo was involved, which was to drive the OPD agenda. And the second is something which MedAssist, MedPlus, and some of the other banks were involved. So as we speak, the PFRDA is putting through the regulatory requirements and this product will come. My understanding is even the first 1 year is primarily going to get, will be focused on getting more and more customers into the fund and the product itself will shape out as we are talking about layering it with the top up, etc. So I would say at least we are one year to 18 months away before seeing any impact of NPS Vatsalya. But the vision for the product is how can people continue to keep investing in their pension. However, the 25% of their contribution is then allowed for any kind of OPD or IP related businesses. But as far as the business is concerned, it would be treated as money which is spent from the customers. But it's very early, so I would say around 18 more months before it starts playing out.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Shubh Kalra with Asit C. Mehta Investment Intermediates Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. So first of all, congratulations on a very strong quarter. So we noticed that Apollo has closed three hospitals during the quarter, Lavasa, then one facility in Chennai and one in Bangladesh. So could you please help us understand the rationale behind these closures? I mean, particularly whether they were driven by some strategic considerations, some probably operating performance or other factors. A and B would be, should we expect any material financial impact from these closures, you know, either in terms of one-off costs or ongoing savings?
No material impact. The one in Chennai is closed for renovation and upgradation. So that is Tondia Pet, which is now closed for renovation. The one in Lavasa is where we've not really established a high-end hospital there. It is, we have the land, it's just to make sure that we keep possession of that land. So it's not an operational hospital in the true sense of the word. Your third one was?
Bangladesh.
We had an OMA.
It was OMA, actually we got out of the OMA in
Bangladesh.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one now. Our next follow-up question comes from the line of Kunal Dhamesha with Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the follow-up. Just one question. Do we have EWS obligation in any of our hospitals? And if yes, how many beds we have for the EWS obligation?
There are EWS obligations in some of our hospitals which we are adhering to, which is one is Delhi, which we are adhering to, another we have some in Hyderabad and some in Calcutta. Because we don't have much of the other structures that some of the other operators work on. Most of it is freehold. Otherwise, even a Gurugram hospital that is coming is on freehold land, etc. We have minimum obligations across our system, which we are adhering to. I'll come back to on the numbers exactly offline.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for closing remarks.
So thank you all for attending this call. I hope that we answered all of your questions. Apollo has become FY27 from a position of strength. Our strategy is firmly centered around building India's most integrated healthcare platform, primary care, diagnostics, digital engagement, insurance and hospitals can no longer be looked at as independent businesses, but interconnected patient journeys that improve acquisition, retention, clinical outcomes and lifetime value. This focus on an integrated healthcare ecosystem, delivering superior clinical outcomes, expanding access to high quality care and disciplined capital allocation position as well, sustain our momentum and create enduring value for all of our stakeholders. Please feel free to reach out to our team for any further questions and discussions. I look forward to connecting you with you again next quarter. Thank you and good evening.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Apollo Hospitals Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you everyone for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.